Hello, welcome to Carefully Examining the Text. In today's podcast, we're going to look at Psalm 66. When you open your Bible to Psalm 66, right away you notice the heading of the psalm. For the choir director, a song, a psalm. Now, one of the things that catches our attention, or I hope catches your attention right away, is that it doesn't mention the name of David. This is the first psalm since Psalm 50 that does not mention the name of David. Psalms 51 through 65 all mentioned him. Psalm 67 will not mention his name either. For the choir director, a song, a psalm. Verses 1 through 12 of Psalm 66 are going to relate a national thanksgiving. Notice the first person plural terms that are used in verse 6, verse 8, verse 9, verse 10, verse 11, and 12. But verses 13 through 20 are going to be first person singular pronouns. For this relates an individual thanksgiving. Let's read verses 1 through 12. Shout joyfully to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of His name. Make His praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are Your works. Because of the greatness of Your power, Your enemy will give feigned obedience to You. All the earth will worship You and sing praises to You. They will sing praises to Your name, Selah. Come and see the works of God, who is awesome in His deeds toward the sons of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the river on foot. There let us rejoice in Him. He rules by His might forever, and His eyes keep watch on the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Selah. Bless our God, O peoples, and sound His praise abroad, who keeps us in life and does not allow our feet to slip. For You have tried us, O God. You have refined us as silver is refined. You have brought us into the net. You have laid an oppressive burden upon our loins. You have made men ride over our heads. We went through the fire and through water, yet You brought us into a place of abundance. Now, I was reading from the New American Standard Bible, a 1995 edition. Lord willing, when we get to the end of this psalm, we'll point out some connections between the first 12 verses and verses 13 through 20. A couple of things to notice. Psalm 66 opens as Psalm 65 closed. Psalm 65 talked about shouting for joy. Yes, they sing. And the word shout used in 65:13 is the first word in 66:1. Shout joyfully to God, all the earth. This particular word for shouting was often used of an army going into battle. It's used several times in Joshua 6. It was used when someone was made king. In 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 24, the people shouted at Solomon becoming king. It was the same shouting that was uttered when the foundation of the temple was laid in Ezra 3, verses 11 through 13. And here they shout joyfully to God. Shout joyfully to God, all the earth. So Psalm 65 ended on this note. Psalm 66 begins on this note. Psalm 66 and Psalm 65 went in opposite direction. Psalm 65 began with God's work in Zion and moved to His universal reign. Psalm 66 begins with God's blessing in the national way, in a universal way, and then focuses on His care for the individual. So they go in different directions, though they teach the same truths. But shout joyfully to God, all the earth, verse 1 says, sing the glory of His name. What is the subject of our singing? What is the subject of our praise? His glory, His name. In verse 4, sing praises to you, sing praises to your name. So God is the one who is praised. God is the one who exalted. God's name is lifted up. And the Bible says in verse 3, say to God, how awesome are your works. God and His works are the subject of our song as we celebrate His power in the words that we use. The word awesome will be used in verse 5 as well, God's awesome deeds. And it's from the same root word in verse 16, which is translated fear. But God's deeds are indeed awesome, and we will see a couple of them mentioned in just a moment. In verse 4, when the text tells us, all the earth will worship you, that is not a statement about human faithfulness to God. It is a declaration that God is God of all the earth. It is more a statement of who God is than it is about who man is. Why should all the earth worship Him? Why should all the earth praise God? Because of His awesome deeds, as verse 3 and verse 5 state. And the world is invited in verse 5, come and see the works of God. How awesome are His deeds to the sons of men. Particularly highlighted in verse 6 is God turned the sea into dry land. This particular word for dry land is used 14 times in the Old Testament. It first appears in creation in Genesis 1, verses 9 and 10, but it's used frequently in the account of God drying the rivers and letting Israel cross over on dry ground in Exodus 14, or God drying up the Jordan and letting Israel cross over on dry ground in Joshua 4. All of these events may be in mind, creation, the Exodus, and the crossing of the Jordan. They do deal with man passing through, so they particularly highlight the Exodus and the crossing of the Jordan. But God turned the sea into dry land, and they passed through the rivers on foot. Now, I want you to notice the change in pronoun in verse 6. They passed through the river on foot. There let us rejoice in Him. We see the great things that God has done. The great things that God has done for Israel needs to lead all of the future generations of Israel and all people everywhere to rejoice in God. For in verse 7, God rules by His might. His eyes keep watch on the nations. God rules the nations, God watches the nations, and the text tells us that the rebellious are not to exalt themselves against God. In verse 8, bless our God, O peoples, and sound His praise abroad. Each of these sections, in verse 1, verse 5, verse 8, all seem to begin different sections within this national Thanksgiving section of the psalm, but all of them begin with plural imperatives in the original language. Bless our God, O peoples, and sound His praise abroad, who keeps us in life and does not allow our foot to slip. You see this language in Psalm 37, verses 23 and 24, about not allowing our foot to be slipped. this word for slipped is the word that is translated moved. I will not be moved in Psalm 16, verse 8, and several other passages like that. God is about to describe a time of crisis. It is described in several ways here. In verse 10, you have tried us, O God. You have refined us as silver. Notice that God is responsible for all these trials. You have tried us. You have refined us. Silver and gold are put through the most intense of fires. They are put through the most intense of fires, not to destroy them, but to purify them. And often in the Bible, this is used as a picture of God purifying His people. You see it in the Old Testament, in Proverbs 17, verse 3. You see it in the New Testament, in 1 Peter 1, verses 6 and 7. You have refined us as silver is refined. God puts us through the fire, not to destroy us, but to purify us, to cleanse us, to shape us, to mold us, to conform us into His image. In all of our lives, we acknowledge that we're not where we need to be, that we could go higher and our faith could be stronger. And maybe these trials serve the purpose of purifying us, cleansing us, and shaping us into His image. In verse 11, you brought us into the net. You laid an oppressive burden upon our loins. He's simply setting the stage to emphasize how disastrous their circumstance. You brought us into a net. This particular word for net is used several times in the Old Testament, 25 times, and often translated stronghold or fortress, but it refers to a net or snare into which a person is caught. In Ezekiel chapter 12 and verse 13, in Ezekiel 17 and verse 20, the text tells us that you have brought us into the net. Sometimes the enemies in the book of Psalms are pictured as laying a net for our feet. But in this particular case, it is stated that God is the one who brought us into the net. God laid an oppressive burden upon us. And this word for oppressive burden is unique to here in the New Testament, but it seems tied to the idea of hardship and difficulty. The point is, there was a heavy load that the people were bearing. He said, "You've made man ride over our heads." This again is a phrase not used elsewhere, but seems to indicate dominance and submission on Israel's part. You made men ride over our heads. We went through the fire. We went through the water. We faced all kinds of trials in all kinds of moments of crisis. But remember what God says in Isaiah 43, verse 2, that God would be with us in the fire and the water. And apparently God was with Israel here. We went through the fire and through the water, yet you brought us into a place of abundance. Just as surely as God tried them and refined them and brought them into the net and laid an oppressive burden and made men ride over their heads, just as surely God brought us out into a place of abundance. And this particular word abundance indicates an overflow, a saturation. It is the word used in Psalm 23:5, "My cup runs over." God blessed us with abundance. And now in the individual part of this psalm, he's going to state his thanksgiving to God. In verses 13 through 15, I shall come into your house with burnt offerings. I shall pay my vows. Vows are usually a subcategory of peace offerings. So he brings burnt offerings, he brings peace offerings. And in verse 14, which my lips uttered and my mouth spoke when I was in distress, I shall offer to you burnt offerings of fat beasts with the smoke of rams, and I shall make an offering of bulls with male goats. So I come into your house with burnt offerings, I pay my vows. His lips had uttered his vows when he was in distress, and now his lips praise God as God has provided deliverance. When one was heard by God and made vows that, God, if you deliver me, I will do this, we must be faithful in keeping those vows. We must be faithful in doing what we promised. The variety of sacrifices, burnt offerings, peace offerings, the various types of animals, rams, and male goats, and bulls, all of this points to the wealth of the offerer, the intensity of the trouble, and the gratitude and thanksgiving at deliverance. I shall come into your house with burnt offerings. I shall pay my vows, which my lips uttered and my mouth spoke when I was in distress. I shall offer to you burnt offerings of fat beast with the smoke of rams. I shall make an offering of bulls with male goats, Selah. In verse 16, come in here, all who fear God, and I will tell you of what he has done for my soul. Remember back in verse 5, we were invited, come and see. And now in verse 16, we are invited to come and hear. Correspondence between the national thanksgiving of 1 through 12 and the individual thanksgiving in verses 13 through 20. Come and hear, and I will tell you of what he has done for my soul. Verses 1 and 3, praise God for his awesome deeds. And he said, here the psalmist said, I will tell you of what he has done for my soul. And we pointed out earlier that the word fear in verse 16 is the same root word translated awesome in verse 3 and in verse 5. There are connections between the early part of the psalm and the latter portion of the psalm. In verse 17, I cried to him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear. But certainly God has heard. He has given heed to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, who has not turned away my prayer, nor his loving kindness from me. In verse 17, he cried to God and God heard in verse 19. But in verse 16, if I regard wickedness or see evil or wickedness, God will not hear. He is not bragging about how righteous he is. He is emphasizing the character of God. Now, we know that we would be helpless without God being a God of forgiveness. As Psalm 65 verse 3 says, as for our transgressions, you forgive them, and we would all be up the creek without a paddle if God was not a God of forgiveness and mercy. But that is no excuse for cherishing sin. That does not give us a reason to say we can hold on to sin, we can love sin, and we can wallow in sin. No, if I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear. But certainly, God has heard, and he's given heed to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God. In connection with the early part of the psalm and the latter part, verse 8, bless our God, O peoples. Here, blessed be God, who has not turned away my prayer, nor his loving kindness from me. The term I was used 8 times as I counted from verses 13 through 20, and the term me is used some 9 times in that section. Truly, this is an individual thanksgiving. How does Psalm 66 relate to Jesus? Well, just as all nations will come bowing down before God ultimately in 66 verse 3, this is true of Jesus in Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess to God. Just as we are invited to come and see the works of God in verse 5, in John 1, verse 45 and 46, Philip invited Nathanael to come and see Jesus. Come and see if he's the Messiah. Just investigate it. And what work of God is greater and more awesome than the death and burial and resurrection? Jesus is the ultimate burnt offering and all the offerings of verses 13 through 15. Hebrews 10, verses 1 through 18 shows us he's the ultimate burnt offering. And then in verse 16, come in here, all who fear God, I will tell you of what he has done for my soul. In Mark 5, verses 19 and 20, the text tells us of the demon-possessed man from whom the demons were cast out was told to go and tell them what God and Christ had done for them. Psalm 66 in the Septuagint and the Vulgate is titled a Psalm of the Resurrection because it talks about God bringing passage from death to life, particularly in verses 8 through 12. He brought us out where our enemies rode over our head. He brought us into a place of abundance. I recognize that some of those connections between Jesus and Psalm 66 may not have been as obvious as some psalms that we've studied. As I invite you to do always, don't take my word for it. Look at it. If you think the point was pressed too much to come to a conclusion, then you make that judgment and reject it. But again, you may look at the psalm closely and see many things I've missed. But we always appreciate you listening to our podcast, and may the Lord continue to bless you.